Last week we were talking about godly zeal over in Romans chapter 10. We went through verses 1 through 4. Godly zeal is what we were talking about. We talked about how there was zeal and for all kinds of things. Could be motivated by the wrong things as we feel competition or envy and we want to get what they have or, you know, and it's this struggle. You could have zeal in that direction. Well, I'm going to do this because they're doing that, or I'm going to do this because they're going to do that. And we get involved in all this competition stuff, which is not the kind of godly zeal that God wants. And the zeal to encourage people to do something that they don't want to do, or to get something back for being good to someone. Godly zeal doesn't want anything back. We just encourage people for the sake of encouraging, to lift them up so that they won't be down, that maybe perhaps they'll go and lift somebody else up. That's what it's all about. How often, or maybe this week, somebody has come to you and they were down. They were just down. And you were there to lift them up and encourage them, maybe speak a few kind words or just, you know, let them know the truth, whatever it was. But God used you. Now, I hope you don't expect something back. It's not like, well, okay, you know, I'm going to log this one down, okay. So-and-so owes me. No. Godly zeal just gives and gives and gives. We talked about that. We talked about in Philippians, we're to rejoice in the Lord. And it said something real interesting. It said, beware of dogs. It said, beware of people who are going to bite you and pull you down. Drag you into the same debauchery, if you will, that they're in. And they want to drag you into the depth where they're at. Beware of that. And it said, have no confidence in the flesh. Anything that is flesh motivated, anything that your flesh is drawn to that you know is wrong, that you know God doesn't want in your life, pull away from it. Beware of dogs. Stay away from the dogs that are going to drag you into the pit or the muck or the mire. Stay away from it. Have godly zeal. Start hanging out with those who are going to encourage you, those who are going to build you up, those who are going to lift you up out of the situations that you've gotten yourself in and plant you on a firm and solid foundation. Those who will encourage you, your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what you want to do. Have no confidence in the flesh. Know that your flesh is going to lead you astray every time. But I feel that, you know, I need it. Your flesh. Make sure you check with the Lord. The Bible says not to do anything in haste. Don't be hasty as your flesh just goes, oh, I'm going to do this. It might even be a good work, but pray about it first. See if that's what God will have you do, because you could land up in an area where God never wanted you to be. Have no confidence in the flesh. Paul talked about how to gain Christ is what the goal is in Philippians. And then we talked also in Galatians, as we were talking about here in Romans, about justified by works and justified by faith and the difference of that. So we went to Galatians and we said, well, Pete, what's the purpose of the law then? What's the Old Testament laws for if we read last week that Christ is the end of the law? Well, I don't understand. What's the law for? We looked at it that it was our tutor to train us up. That's what the law is. It's our tutor to bring us to Christ so that when we look at it, we see, well, I'm sinning. It says right here, don't do that. And that's what I'm doing. Oh, I'm doing this too. And we look at the law and we recognize it for these guidelines, if you will, that God has laid out for our safety, we'll see today. Not necessarily just because he's a mean God, he doesn't want you to have fun. No, it's for safety, physical safety as well as spiritual safety. It was our tutor to bring us to Christ so that we could be justified not by works, but by faith in Jesus and the finished work which he did on the cross. So we saw that we're no longer under the tutor. We're sons and daughters of God through the faith that we have in Christ. All of us are one in Christ. There's no Jew or Greek or rich or poor. We're all the same. It's level ground. And we're heirs according to the promise that God has given us. So that's what we looked at last week. The godly zeal, because of these things, being able to look at the Lord and being able to do the things that God has put in our life, not to attain glory, but because we just love the Lord. We love the body of Christ. And now we're going to look at Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 13. We're going to see that, is God too far? Is he so far from us that we can't really attain him? I don't care how we do it. You know, if we try and keep the law, we always fail. Sometimes my faith is weak. Maybe God's too far. Maybe he's not looking at me. Maybe God, you're not really interested in me. Maybe I've just drifted away to a place where I can't be or I can't be reached. Not so. I'm going to start from verse 1 as we just read through. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to the knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Do you believe? That's the question that's before us. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend to the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Turn, if you will, to Leviticus chapter 18, over in the Old Testament. As the scripture said, Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. Well, wait a minute, isn't that contrary, Pete, to what you just said about faith and law? Let's read. What's going on over here in Leviticus 18? He has just given these laws about drinking the blood, and don't drink the life blood when you kill an animal. Don't empty it out and don't eat that, he says, because it's the life blood. And there's all this teaching that we could go into, but we won't for time's sake. Why not to do that? But basically, it's because it's the life. You don't eat that part, he says. And then he goes on in verse 15 of chapter 17. He says, and every person who eats what died naturally or what was torn by beasts, whether he is a native of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe in the water and be unclean until evening. Then he shall be clean. But if he does not wash them or bathe his body, then he shall bear his guilt. What is he talking about? Here in the law, God has established these laws that he gave in the Old Testament to the Jewish people. He gave them these laws for their own protection, for their safety. As you know, if an animal was killed or hit by a chariot, back in those days, if an animal died naturally or, you know, it was torn up by another animal, you know, it's been sitting there for a while. There's germs we know nowadays that they didn't know then. He says, if you eat that, you know, you're cleaning out the animal. You're unclean now. Go and bathe. Wash your clothes. Why? Because there's germs there. As we look at this from our perspective now, as the knowledge that we have, God is doing it for our safety. We're going to see that the law was not only our tutor, but it was placed there to keep us safe from different things, i.e. germs, right here. Then, in verse 1 of 18, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. Never forget that. Whenever you are in a situation where you're being instructed, remember who the main instructor is. It's God. I am the Lord your God. If somebody is sitting with you and instructing you in some form in your life, know that God will use them as long as they're in the Word. As long as they're using the Word of God to guide you, not their own opinions, not the world's standards, but the Word of God to guide you in your life, then you can rest in the fact that He is in control. I am the Lord God. He tells Moses, tell them, I am the Lord your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt. Now, Egypt is a type of the world that we live in now. Remember that. According to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, you shall not do. You see, we're in a land, the Bible says that we're sojourners passing through. We're just here for a time, just for a little bit. Our true home is in heaven with the Lord. But as we sojourn through here, don't do the things that they did in Egypt. Don't do the debauchery and the things that they did. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, still on this earth, it says, I pulled you out of Egypt and the bondage that you were under. Now I'm going to make you free in this other land. But be careful with the people or the inhabitants of the land. Be careful with them. You shall not do. Don't be a Canaanite, so to speak. Don't be worldly, so to speak. The Canaanites, they were fleshy, sexually immoral, and they did whatever felt good for them. what was ever right in their own mind. Be careful. Don't fall into that trap. As we walk through the world, we're in it, not of it. Don't fall into that trap. He says, you shall not do, nor shall you walk in their ordinances. Don't you become like they. Don't. You see, so many people have it wrong. They think that the devil was unleashed. I've talked to people and they say, you know, it's not fair, you know, this God's put us here. What do I mean, God? Put us here on this world where the devil is. He sicked the devil on us. You got it backwards. He sicked us on the devil. We're to make his life miserable, not the other way around. Don't fall into the deceptions of the world or the deceptions of the flesh or the deceptions of Satan. You're sanctified. You're blessed. He says, don't walk in their ordinances. You shall observe my judgments and my ordinance to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. He reiterates on that. You see, God is in control. Don't fall prey to those things. Don't fall privy to the things that the world is going to suck you up into. And worldly people are going to say, come, lie with us. Come, steal with us. Come, let's do all these things. It'll be good. He says, don't. Don't fall into that. He says, walk in my judgments, my ordinance. I am the Lord your God. They're not who you serve. I'm who you serve. Serve me well. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, and this is where we just quoted in Romans, where Paul quoted in Romans, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. Notice what's going on here. We start looking at the law in a whole different perspective. God has placed it there for our protection, to keep us away from the bad things. How many of you watched John Q? Remember when he was going to lay down his life for his son? He had locked himself up in the hospital and he was going to lay his life down so that his son could live. And it was such a touching moment as he said, okay, doctor, I'm ready, but give me a minute. I want to talk to my boy. And he went in there with his son and he sat down with his son and he started talking to him. He says, you know, I love you. You know, I'll always love you. Even though I'm not here with you at times, I'm going to be in your heart. And he started telling him, and son, he goes, when there's people that come around, you know, and they try and drag you down into the bad things, he says, stay away from them. Promise me you'll stay away from them. He says, okay, Dad. He says, love your mom. Do what she says. And if something comes your way and you have to be a man, then stand up and be a man, he told him. But stay away from the bad things. Promise me you'll stay away from the bad things, he kept saying. He says, I will, Dad. That's the law. We look at the law and we say, oh, I can't keep this, God. Well, he knows. That's why Christ showed up. But he doesn't want you to live in them anymore. And he's telling you, and he's telling me, son, daughter, stay away from the bad things. Here they are. If we were to go on, it talks about sexual immorality. The laws for sexual immorality. He says, stay away from them. You see, there's a part of the law that if we keep it, if we're not hanging around the germs, you know, we're cleansing ourselves, if you will, he'll protect you. If we're not sleeping around or hanging around in sexual immorality, guess what? You could get diseased from it. When he says, you shall live by them, it's not, this will bring you to everlasting life. This will keep you safe. And then the law will lead you to Christ. And then Christ will lead you to everlasting life. Amen? That's what he's saying. The law was our tutor. The law was there to instruct us, to protect us, to keep us safe for that day, that you may have life and more abundantly. He doesn't want you to suffer. Those of you who are suffering today, God never intended for you to suffer. He's going to teach you obedience through the suffering. But his life is that you have life and more abundantly. Stay away from the bad things. Back in Romans chapter 10, in verse 6 it says, and the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. You know, don't start letting your mind get carried away and say, well, God is too far up, I can't reach him. If you're practicing religion rather than a relationship with Jesus, then God's too far from you. If you're trying to keep the law, whatever your laws are, whatever your religion is, you're reaching for God, but you'll never reach Him. Religion is man's attempt to reach God. Relationship is God's attempt to reach man. Remember that. So it's not in religion. It's in that relationship with the Lord. Who will descend to Christ in the abyss and bring Him up from the dead? He's not dead, is what He's saying. God's not dead. Jesus isn't dead. He arose on the third day so that you could have everlasting life. But what does it say? That's what you always want to do. Whenever you're faced with these emotions and even your flesh is trying to steer you away, and people of the world, whether they're of Egypt or Canaan, they're trying to draw you away into a different lifestyle that you know God has not intended for you to be. What does it say? Go to the Word, is what He's saying. Don't get carried away by these different thoughts or winds of doctrine. Go to the Word of God. What does it say? The Word is near you. The Word of God is near you. The Word of faith, it's near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. Some of you, the Word of God is near you. You're ever so close to the Word of God. It's right there, maybe a Bible on your nightstand. Never have picked it up, but it's there. It's close to you. Maybe you live next to a church. It's near you. Somewhere, it's near you. And then some of you know it more, and it's in your mouth. You even speak the oracles of God. It's inside of you. You've taken it, and it's become part of you. It's in your heart. Every time that you're faced with a situation from the world, or your flesh, or from the enemy, you remember that word that's in your heart. You say, no, you were tempted, but you didn't sin. How many of you were tempted this week, but you didn't sin in one area or another? I was. I'm tempted all the time. We're all tempted, the Bible says. Even Jesus was tempted. He never sinned. And it's so cool when we're tempted and we don't cross that line, because then you can identify with Christ right then and there. Lord, thank You. You're working in my life and I'm becoming more and more like You, one little step at a time. God, thank You. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, He says. Maybe it's not in your mouth. Maybe it's not in your heart. Maybe it's not near you. Maybe you've never been around the word of God. Well, you know what? There's people preaching it all around you. Not just in churches. Out in the workforce. On the playground, out in the streets, there's people all around. You'll hear it as you're hearing it today. Verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth, and here's the word of faith working in your life unto the point of salvation now. And it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. So if you confess with your mouth, if you say verbally, Lord Jesus, God Almighty, I know that Jesus is Lord. I know that He rose from the dead. I know He sits with You in the right hand of my Father in heaven. I know these things. Confess it. Tell others about Him. And if you believe in your heart, now it becomes a little bit deeper. It goes from knowing Him, it's called gnosis in the Greek, to epignosis, knowing Him in the heart. Knowing, having a relationship with Him. If you've gone from the gnosis to the epignosis and you know Him personally, you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Your salvation, once faith is working in your life, once you understand that the law is placed there to show us what sin is and what the bad things are that we're to stay away from, then it comes to a point where you're going to have to make a decision. Jesus, I want You in my life. I want to live right. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Believe in your heart. Know that you know Him in here. Start spending time with Him in His Word, reading the Bible, in prayer, in fellowship with the saints. Don't neglect that, the Bible says. And you know that God raised Him. You will be saved. Not you might be saved. There's a good possibility that you'll be saved. You never know. You might get saved. You will be saved. Amen. period. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you are one of those who was, as he said earlier, in verse 6 and 7, oh, who can reach God? Who am I to reach God? I don't know if He's raised. If that's you, then this should have answered your questions. This should have answered your doubt. The Scripture says in Isaiah 28:16, you will not be put to shame if you believe in Him. If you don't believe in Him, you will be put to shame. Your sin will find you out, the Bible says, and you'll have to pay for it. And again, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's in Joel chapter 2, verse 32. So there's our salvation. There's the law working in our life, drawing us to the Lord. There's the Lord working in our life, drawing us to Himself. Now, if you will, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. But just to give you an idea of what's going on over here, in chapter 28, you don't have to turn there, of Deuteronomy, God starts to lay out all these things, all these blessings. I love reading chapter 28. If you get a chance this week, read it through all the way to chapter 30. But in chapter 28, it's the blessing of obedience, it's called. And it's so cool because as you read through that, God is pretty much saying, if you do this, this, and this, I will bless you. I will bless you. He says, blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. In other words, your wife in the kitchen. You know, blessed will be the fruit of your body and the produce of the ground and your increases of your herds and the increases of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks and your job or your career. God will bless that. He goes on to all these blessings. Blessings when you shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And the Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you to defeat before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee from you seven ways. So fear is taken from us because we know that not even our enemies can prevail over us. And the Lord will command the blessings on you in your storehouses, meaning your bank account or your savings, and in all to which you set your hand. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. And He will establish you as a holy people. And it just goes on and on. And there's all these blessings. But then later on, He talks about the curses for disobedience. And that's a whole big long list there as well. It's good to know the blessings, but it's good to know the curses as well. Those are the bad things. Stay away from these things, is what He's saying. And that brings us right to chapter 30. Where it talks about blessing of returning to God. Because it says, now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessings and the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among the nations where the Lord your God drives you. Remember, He's brought us into this world, and He'll safely take us out as long as we stay close to Him. Remember, we covered all that just now. And it says, and you return to the Lord your God. Why is He saying this? Because He understands human nature. He understands that there are some of us, and I'm one of them, where there was a time where I tried to draw close to the Lord, and then, boom, I went right back into my ways and doing the things that were right in my own mind. And I started doing that, and I paid consequences for that. I understand all that. Now, I wish I would have then. But what God is saying is, I know there'll be some that when I set out the blessings and the curses, you guys will choose the curses. You'll go to the bad things. Why? Because it appeals to the flesh. We want to feed that flesh. And He says, no, 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 but I have a blessing for you. I know, but ah, this feels good. Whatever the flesh is desiring. And we mess up. And He knows that when He drives us into this land, that some of us will fall. That's why He said, Jesus is the end of the law, because He knows we can't do it apart from Christ and the perfect sacrifice which He made. Therefore, He says, and you return to the Lord your God and obey His voice. In other words, you've recognized the wrong things in your life, even after you knew the Lord, and you still deliberately went into disobedience. You're suffering because of it. But he says, you know what? I still love you. I knew you would return to me. I was just waiting. And now that you have, isn't it amazing? I look at my life and the sins I did, and I grieve over them, but yet I know I'm forgiven. And I don't want to walk in them anymore, so I stay close to the Lord. Maybe you're at that point where you're recognizing that sin lifestyle, and you just want out. You just want to get out of there and say, God, this is so much better with you. As I look back at my life and the sin, it was fun. And the Bible says that sin is fun for a season. But once that season's gone, you're left empty, shallow. And then you start to remember, God, I remember before I fell into sin, how close I was with you. How things were right in the world, it seemed. I want that again. God, take me back. This is you then, right here. And you return to the Lord your God and obey His voice. This time you're not obeying the voice of the people of Egypt or of Canaan, the sexually immorals. You're not falling into the lies of your own flesh or the enemy. You're obeying His voice, no longer your voice. And according to all that I command you today. Some of you are saying, well, I'll do that tomorrow. No, today. Today I want to do it, Lord. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Now is when I want it, Lord, because I'm not promised tomorrow. All that I command you today, and you and your children, and with all your heart and your soul. You see, it'll be infectious that your friends around you or your family around you, as you start to fall in love with the Lord and say, I want to get this right. This is my sin. And I'm not ashamed of my sin because you have borne my shame. God, this is it. I want you to know. I want my family to know. I remember when I pulled out of sin, I got my wife and I apologized and I got things right. I confessed my sin. If you don't confess your sin, then how is God going to forgive your sin? And you get right with the people you've wronged. And I went to my kids. And they were just little. Yes, I was wrong. I apologize. I can't do anything about it, but I'm going to start walking with the Lord. He's touched my heart again. He showed me that He's still there to draw me back to Him. And I want you guys to know, it's over. I'm done with this stuff. I'm not going back as God helps me through this. And that's how we confess our sin. Don't hold it in. Don't say, I didn't do nothing wrong. No, then you won't be able to walk in the fullness of Christ. Once you lay it out, it's laid out. You don't have to bring it up again. It's there. Well, I'm going to bring it up. Well, why bring it up? It's right there. I told you about it. It's a done deal. It's over. And you can move on. From this point on, you've been with the Canaanites. You've been with the Egyptians. You've been in all the junk. Now I can move forward. Now I'm free. Why? Because the truth shall set you free. It unbinds us. You see, sin is binding. Sin blinds us, and it binds us. It just holds us down. You know the saying, you know, like with Samson? Remember, he was a man that was a Nazarite set off to be a priest, so to speak, you know, one special for the Lord. And then he got into sin and all the debauchery, you know, sleeping and drinking and all that stuff that went with the world. He fell into the world's way. They plucked out his eyes and they tied him up. And they put him like a mule to grind, to move that big millstone and grind up the grain. And that's what sin does. It blinds you so that you can't see clearly. It binds you so you're not free to move any which way. And it'll eventually grind you like a mill until you're nothing but dust. That's why we stay away from the bad things. Maybe some of you have been blinded. And you're at that point where you were right at the edge of making sin. No, Lord, not going there. Maybe some of you were blind and went a little bit further. Now you're bound. You're bound and now you don't know how to get out. Cry out to the Lord. Maybe some of you went a step further and you were blind. You're bound and it's just grinding you up. You're falling apart at the seams and you don't want to admit it. But inside your heart, you know, this is grinding me up, Lord. That's killing me. It's killing my relationship with my family and my friends. And God, it's just grinding me. What do? Cry out to the Lord. Turn from your sin. Confess your sin. Get right with those whom it's affected. Why? Because today you're returning to the Lord, your God. He's not the Lord, their God. He's my God. The Lord, my God. And today you've heard the voice and you want to obey. And today it's moved from head knowledge to heart knowledge. You believe with your heart, your whole being, your soul. It says that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity. He's quick to move. Yes, it'll be, the consequences will linger, but your relationship can be restored right now. Right now, if you want. He'll bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you. And He'll gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. And if any of you are driven out of to the furthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there He will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. He'll circumcise our heart. That's everything we're talking about in Romans, if you've been with us. Where it's not a circumcision of the flesh, but it's a circumcision of the heart. It's a heart issue where God cuts away the fatty part of our heart, if you will, the one that's all caught up in the world. And He'll circumcise your heart. He'll help you through this. He'll clean it up. He'll get you right with Him, that you may live. The law showed us how to live free from the germs, free from the diseases and stuff as much as possible if we stay away from the bad things. And then it pointed us to the Lord. And He says, and if you do this, if you come back to God, I'll forgive you right now, today. And not only that, He'll circumcise your heart. It's not a matter of works or religion. It's a matter of turning your face to the Lord, confessing your sin and getting right. He says, I'll circumcise your heart. And you'll love me, He says. You'll love the Lord your God. You'll love me with all your heart. Why? Because there's not the junk cluttered around it anymore. It's not bound to sin anymore. Are you tempted? Of course. Do you sin? No. Because your heart is free enough. And you'll be able to not only believe with all your heart, but with your whole soul. And you will live. Now we're talking about everlasting life. If you believe, we went through the law and it showed us how to take care of ourselves. Now, everlasting life, you will live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you and we praise you so. Lord, there is no reason in our mind, no understanding fully, I guess, of why you would love us. Who are we? We're your creation. You choose to love us, Lord God. Help us to follow in the steps of our Lord. Help us, Jesus, today to follow you. Father, I don't know everyone who's here, but if you're working in the heart of someone here today and they need to confess you as their Lord and Savior, I pray if that's you, man or woman, maybe a child, if you know that you need to ask Jesus into your heart, you want a relationship with Jesus. You want now to follow the Lord. If that's you, I would ask that you pray this prayer. It's a simple prayer. It's a prayer about asking God to start the relationship that you so desire. That you want Him as your Father, not just God of eternity and God of the universe, but you want Him as God, your Father. You want to have a relationship with Him where you can go to Him and have access to Him at any time. If that's you, pray this prayer. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I'm that person. I want that relationship, Lord. I may not have realized it, Lord, until now, but I want you in my life. I didn't know it was by simply asking you, so I ask you now. Come into my life, Lord. Change me. Help me, Lord God, to have the same kind of love that you have for me. Help me to run to you when the world is pushing me away.
Help me to fall before you on my face and worship my Savior. You are the guardian of my soul, and I recognize that now. Therefore, I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart. I love you. If you pray that prayer, you're what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. You're born again. You're a child of the living God. Fear not, for I am with you. Lo, even to the end of time, he will be with you guys.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a wonderful week.